The committee program, so it's too congested. The room that we allocated was not workable, so they had to shift us to another. So it delayed, but my apologies about that. Apology also to all members and to everybody. We are a subcommittee of an ARO committee that was established by the. Sorry, ma'am.
We were asking for a copy of the attendance.
Okay, so you arrange. I think the other problem is that the secretary of the committee just sent a message today that she's not well and she's not coming. My apologies once again. It's like we're not organized, my goodness. Just to say that we are a subcommittee of the adult committee that was established by both houses. That is why it consists of members from the National Assembly and the MCOP. So the subcommittee is representatives of political parties, so that we, when we're done with whatever decision, we then brief our members. So and then think in the second next meeting, we will then reconvene as a full committee to present the submissions that we have received on their behalf. They thought that it was not moving quick enough because it was too big. I would like to thank you very much for coming, making time, and understanding that you are pressed with time with your flight.
On a point of order, madam, even the subcommittee is not correct. So it's quite unfortunate that this is, especially when we have invited guests. So I just would like that to be recorded. I think there's 5 members, and the subcommittee itself was 11 members, if I remember correctly.
It's one per political party, and it's one per political party, and the coaches. Yeah. I think on some areas it becomes skewed because of the program of NCOP and the National Assembly. So
just to finish my point of order, we may not be correct, but we will receive the report. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
receive the input.
Okay. The problem is that members do not inform their members, because it is political parties that are supposed to appoint one person who comes. For instance, last week Dr. Tembe Gwai was out of the country, but an alternate from the EFF came and attended the meeting. Dr. Marie was here,
yes.
He attended.
I was unable to come.
Dr. Mulder was here, so the Tiano was here. So we instead of the formal ad hoc committee that would need a quorum, and it was not moving, the committee itself took a decision. So when we are here, we represent everybody who's supposed to be here. Apology, Honorable Kayla. So in our understanding and definition of who is the political office bearer, we also look at who does the commission of the nomination of office bearers deal with. Because it's the judges, so we call the magistrates. We had Sarka also coming last week. And when we look, we said also the National House of Traditional Leaders is part of that. So, and we were constituted to look at what is the best, what can be done to ensure that IPAMET, the medical aid of Parliament, that is forces members by virtue of a legislation to belong to. And last week we also heard how it was affordable until the restructuring of the salary structure by Judge Musenekeh, the pre-2007. So we also had asked our legal support, the support member support facility to look at, including PAMED itself, what will it mean if, say, the members of the national traditional leaders join, SALTA join, the magistrates join. How will it affect our salaries? Will it be lesser? We're also exposed to the fact that because it's a closed scheme, currently it is small. And because it is small, it is unable to give members different options to look at. But if it grows, if it has more members belonging to it, it will be able to give different structures, plans for members to choose from. So we wanted your input so that you have a holistic input, because one of the things that you are expected to do is to amend the legislation, because it talks up of political office bearers, public representatives, but it still talks about the Senate. So when we do the holistic amendment, we wanted to take that also into consideration. So, Coach Mahlangu, over to you for the presentation. Thank you very much, and my apologies once again.
No, thank you, Honourable Chair, and also to Honourable Members of the House and all the House of Parliament, and also my colleagues, what we've done with our teamwork, and our company officials. Maybe one needs to first apologize that we may not have given the submission enough scrutiny that we were supposed to. Because normally what we do with submissions that we make would request comments to clarify. So that when we come to Parliament, we come with a consensus view that comes from all provinces. But we thought that now that we have an opportunity, let us put it in, make an input, but also request that at some point, because we have sent this request to other provinces to input, that probably we might need another engagement at a later stage in terms of the input that we have made. Because of the view that we've put in, it might not have been properly canvassed among our members. So we've done this presentation. I'll start maybe just look at the representative numbers of the House, or not go to all this legislation, and what I believe that this House is our effort in the legislation. They come from this House of what gives us as the National House the mandate, which we are all aware that it comes from the Constitution, especially Chapter 12, and said before the Constitution, the treatment of the Federal Government, Framework Act, and other acts, those that set up the National House and the Provincial Houses, and your Structures Act, the Ministerial Structures Act. In terms of the background, the National House has been invited by the committee, the abstract joint committee of Parliament, for a briefing. And this ad hoc committee is to look at recommendations on the following: the current of members of the PAMED, number 18, the need for and possible options with regard to PAMED and other competitive medical aid for members of Parliament, the necessity of introducing amended legislation, the impact on retired members of PAMED, and also in outlining finding of customer satisfaction or consumer surveys on that. In terms of the delegation that is here, we are one member short. We're supposed to be with the chairperson of Okay. Not less, Jose Mabe, who unfortunately did not make it, but I am with my honorable member, Jose Mabe, who is a member of the subcommittee on planning and cooperative governance within the National House. This falls within the mandate of that committee in the National House. On the 14th of April, 1935, I think 2 years, over 2 years after I was born. so the then acting president of the Apartheid government appointed his legislature to pass into law the Parliamentary and Provincial Legislative Act, number 28 of 1935, repealing the Parliamentary Legislative Act of 1934. The third act was amended by Act number 8 of 1996, and all members of Parliament and provincial legislatures have to date been subjected to the legislation establishing permit and have enjoyed all the medical aid benefits accruing from the scheme. The mandate of the Independent Commission for the remuneration of public office bearers is to make annual recommendations relating to salaries, allowances, and benefits, as well as resources required by public office bearers to enable them to perform their respective duties. Traditional leaders experience challenges with regard to the Independent Commission on the Regulation of Public Office Bearers Act of 1997, Act number 92 of 1997. So the Regulation of Public Office Bearers Act of 1998, due to the insufficient coverage of traditional leaders, definition in the third piece of legislation, and therefore exclusion from the medical aid scheme. So it has been a question that a lot of trade managers have been having on whether are we public office bearers, you know, why are we such public office bearers, because we have engaged with different committees before, you know, trying to see if we can participate in some of the schemes where public office bearers have been participating. But we have been failing to make inroads, and I think, Chair, on the problems you have identified, I remember when we engaged with a committee, I think it was a few years ago, on pension, and I think the concern that was raised by the committee was that traditional leaders are too many. They might exhaust what was in the public office bearer pension. But, you know, and now with the medical aid requirement, we thought that probably it has been the same situation, that we're members of the field, that with the inclusion of tracing, it might either exhaust the fund or it might create problems for the time. But we've been raising that issue up to a point where the definitions have been addressed. But still, the medical aid scheme for traditional leaders is still not there. When one looks at a salary package for traditional leaders as it is determined by the Public Office Bearers Organization Commission, the salary package is not 100%, in that there are elements that are not covered in that salary package that traditional leaders get, where the medical aid portion is not covered within the salary, and vehicle allowances are not part of it, and the pension part is not part of the package, and I think the commission has acknowledged that anomaly. So we've been trying to fix it, I think, since 2008 with the commission. Notwithstanding the non-remuneration of the 100% package, the salary levels of traditional leaders remain a sore point, which the House and the institution has constantly raised with Parliament through the Cabinet Minister's Report of the Council and through the commission. So the situation still remains unresolved. I know that this is not a platform to discuss all this, but we are just raising it for members to take note of the profession. As well, the department will continue to be the compulsory membership of the restricted membership medical aid scheme. The Relations Commission recommended for 2009-10 financial year were out in government notice number 1078 of the 12th of November 2009. Paragraph 20 of the aforementioned notice states that all kings, queens, and senior personnel leaders should be members of the government employees medical aid scheme, GEM, among other benefits. Paragraph 20.1 relates to pension benefits and 20.2 to risk benefits. There is no mention of GEM, but I'm sure if you shorten it, it talks about GEM. But when we were engaging with the Remuneration Commission, they said that they never prescribed, and they said they were recommending traditional leaders to a government-related medical aid scheme. And to a point where when members tried to participate in charity, it was a system to keep them out, because they are not government employees, and that medical aid is mainly for government employees. And you find that the problem apparently has been that we have abnormal appointments, because we are public office So it has always been a problem, and to a point where many traditional leaders have not been members of any medical aid, because they could not access the prescribed GEMS medical aid that we told that they should be part of. And I think it's a problem that we've been since 2009, to date, where we ended up experiencing the passing on of the deputy chairperson of the National Health Board, who could not be afforded proper medical support, and many other traditional leaders that have passed on in different traditional countries. I think those that tried to access GEMS, they were contributing 100% to the medical aid. There was no portion where government would contribute, because they said it did not allow them to. So it was a very expensive process, to a point where we decided to retract most of us. So now the question that Krishna Leaders has been asking is that, does this initiative by Parliament arise as a result of the litigation brought to the Western Cape High Court of the Constitution of Parliament? Does this initiative arise because Parliament is imperiled by equal treaty? So the Legal House approached Parliament to be period 2012-15 with a proposal for consideration of Krishna Leaders to join as members, but that opportunity was denied to traditional leaders were excluded from the membership of PAMET as well as office bearers by legislation and the rules governing the scheme. We even engaged with the board and also with Treasurer as well to try and see if they can relax the rules for us to be able to participate, but that we've always been hitting a big wall. When it came to that. So now, others have been asking even a question that maybe for us to have a pension fund to also follow the court process, are we going to be driven by court judgment to be able to change our legislation or to be proactive and start engaging earlier so that we don't experience what we are experiencing now. So in terms of the position of traditional leaders on this legislative review, we support the review of traditional leaders, and we also request that maybe for this medical aid or any other medical aid that may be determined by the committee, that when it has more members, the chances of it being affordable are very high. So we believe that with the number that we have within the institution, it would allow for affordability of this scheme, because within the sector you have key schools, principal treatment leaders, national headmen and headwomen who might participate, and I think that brings the total number of possible participants to about 8,840 that could participate in that scheme. But we also believe that it should be an affordable scheme for us to be able to participate, especially when one will look at the packages, especially of the lower section of the public office. The King, Queen, they earn about $1 million per annum, and we've seen a traditional leader at 246,000 per annum. So, and it starts bringing a few challenges, perhaps 805,000 per annum. And members of the house, they are paid allowances instead of the So, in terms of affordability, there may be challenges that that we'll encounter as a house. So, yeah, we are in support of this, and we believe that we could mobilize for the support for this review process. We have started a process where we are trying to get views from the sector. What are they saying? Whether should it be compulsory for all members to fall in one scheme, or no members to have a choice? So we couldn't state a position on that. We still have to engage the driver to come to a conclusion in terms of the scheme that we all API position whether it should be compulsory or not compulsory. But I think the biggest point that we want to raise is the affordability part of it. I think with our culture, there's quite a number of challenges within the sector. We find that sometimes a traditional leader would have more than one spouse. We have a spouse that is married, and we have a spouse that is married to the nation. So that also comes with its own challenge to the affordability of the scheme. So when we come up to a determination, I think we should put all that, those issues in consideration. thank you, Chair. So yeah, we'll be further engaging with the Commission next week. We'll be here the whole week. We even said that if it is possible to engage further, if the committee would want further engagement, we'll be in Parliament the whole week from Monday to Friday. We could engage further with Parliament. And I'm sure we will also receive some more views from different provinces. I'm getting a note here that suggests that probably for the affordability of this scheme, probably Parliament should consider the full-time status of members of the House. Looking at the proposal that is to made in Parliament, there is a determination that has been made for full-time members of the House, but I think they need to be dependent on the House to consider. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cosmas Sam. I think we in the presentation of SALGA last week, we also heard about the number of councillors, but so many are full-time, so many, and most of them are part-time. So I think the commission of the remuneration of office bearers is headed by Judge Mosi, and that's where he's looking holistically on everybody, MPs, MPLs, presidents, deputy president, councillors, traditional leaders. So I think also when we are also done we will have to also go and make a presentation to him as to our findings and based on the submissions. Honorable Mulder Singh, Maria and myself, we also made a presentation on behalf of members to the commission on what we think of PAMID. But I would like to give Dr. Mulder to say something.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to start off to thank him causing longer for the presentation. I think it's quite clear in terms of what you've got in mind and where you come from and how you see things. I think from our perspective, one has to understand that we act as an ad hoc committee with a specific mandate, and you've indicated the mandate on page 3 of your document. And if we can quickly look at that mandate again, what is our mandate? We need to inquire into and make recommendations on the following, those 5 points: the status of members of PARMET, current members, the need and possible options for members of parliament, the necessity of introducing amending legislation perhaps, impact on retired members who are all members of the fund, and outline the findings of customer satisfaction, etc., etc. The first point I would like to make is that one must understand that PARMET currently is a closed scheme. In other words, the membership is a closed membership. And in the deliberations of the committee so far, we've looked at different options. One of those options is the one to include others into the scheme of PARMET. That's one of the options. And in doing that, we look at the possibility then, if you include others, who would be logical candidates, if I can put it that way, to become members of a scheme like this. And we identified the magistrates who are part of the judicial branch of government. We've identified possibly local councillors throughout South Africa and SALGA and those guys. And then obviously the traditional leaders themselves. So that's one of the options that has been looked at by the ad hoc committee, but that does not necessarily mean that's the only option or the direction that the committee is going to go into. It's one of the options looked at. What is quite clear for me is that the Remuneration Commission, at some stage indicated that traditional leaders should look at GEMS in that sense, more medical scheme. And then I've read what you've said. Basically, your problem was that you argue you're not employees, you are office bearers. And as office bearers, you should not belong to GEMS, but should be treated like office bearers in a different dispensation. If I can just say from our position, we understand that. But then again, it will have to be a determination made by the Commission. If the Commission would make a determination that suggests or recommends, and remember now, the Commission only makes recommendations, that goes to the President. He then will have to accept those recommendations or not. If that route should be taken, and the Commission would recommend, and the President would agree to that, then it may necessitate legislative amendments. But I'm not sure that we are there at the moment. On page 7, you ask the questions, this initiative, where does it come from, basically? Because of court legal action that was taken against PARMET? Or is it a different reason why we are going down that route? Obviously, we as members of parliament became under pressure from our own members and members of PARMET themselves because of the changing situation with regard to the medical scheme, because it became members experienced the scheme to be quite expensive. And because of that, we went to a certain direction. I would like to ask perhaps, and the chairperson referred to that on page 9, you indicate and you suggested that perhaps a suggestion could be to make a distinction between full-time and part-time members. But I've got no idea. If I look at the figures on page 8, where you indicate that the total amount of additional people, if I can put it that way, men and women, are 8,840. But if I come to page 9, could you give us some indication how many of those would be full-time and how many would be part-time? I think that could assist us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
All right.
Let me just get Honorable Chen, Honorable
Thank you very much,
Kayla.
Let's take this opportunity to appreciate the presentation of the Commission and its delegation for the grateful short presentation, not complicated, to make us easy for us to comprehend the content. Chair, I want to raise one issue that is in the presentation, just to verify this. The presentation indicates that there's been engagement with PAMET previously, I think between 2012 and 2018, about issues of membership and so on, but no progress could be made. I think we need to draw a distinction to say this particular initiative is not by PAMET. PAMET is an entity of Parliament. In this particular instance, if Parliament as a whole, both houses of Parliament have decided to take this particular initiative. And we think that it is important for us to listen to each other in this process, because there is a need for a new arrangement to be made that will accommodate, you know, people who were previously not accommodated, like for instance Maoshi, like for instance Sardamans and so on. So we're saying this is a different initiative altogether. PAMET is the building that we are trying to correct. We're trying to reconstruct the PAMET and what we understand what happened. But if we get together as a team, we are likely to come to some conclusion at the end of the day. We are also having another application that was made by the Remuneration Commission. This said to you, that is not necessarily fair to Jeff. All they were saying was that for purposes of justice and fairness, traditional leaders too should have some kind of a government medical thing. That statement is also encouraging as it comes from the core institution, which in the final analysis, you know, make recommendations to the president. So I think we were at a moment where we need to engage fair with a view of finding some arrangement that can help both sides. Obviously, the nitty-gritty and other things will come out later on. If somewhere along the line we can agree in principle on some kind of a way forward, I think we'll be able to reconstruct a permit and make it a more affordable and more attractive institution for members. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Kayla.
Thanks, ma'am. Thank you for the presentation. It's quite interesting to hear your perspective. So my understanding is that Treasury pays your allowances or your salary. So if the PAMET were to open its membership to you, obviously Treasury will have to subsidize as Parliament subsidizes members of Parliament. Okay. So I think we'd have to look at the impact on the fiscus for that. Now, your definition of public office bearers, are you happy with that definition? Because you said the said definitions were since addressed on page 4. So let's say for argument's sake now, PAMET decides that, okay, you allowed to become members of PAMET. What definition do you think PAMET would want to use for you? I'm just trying to get some clarity on you know, and then because
do you want that clarity before your other question?
Yeah.
No.
Because you are legislated by a different act compared to the members of Parliament. So I'm just trying to put in my mind or clarity how that's going to work out. And then on the allowances on page 9, get to that. The allowances on page 9, just a sitting allowance, is that amount per sitting? Because again, I'm looking at affordability for sitting members. If it's that per sitting, how would they afford to pay their portion? You're obviously getting an answer. Thank you.
Thank you. My understanding from Kusuma Sango was that they are willing to become members of Parliament because it would make life better for them, based on the instances that some of their members have passed on because they, I'm sure they had to go to public hospitals not affording private. But that they wouldn't mind joining the scheme if it is affordable, mm-hmm. It is within their salaries, mm-hmm. And that others earn an allowance, and an allowance is a sitting allowance, mm-hmm. It's not a salary that is determined also and that on an annual basis that this is the amount. I'm sure the king or queen, that 1.1 is an annual salary, isn't it? Yeah, I think. Dr. Timberwine?
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you very much, but all my have been exhausted. I would like to say thank you.
Thanks, yes, and as Dr. Mulder has indicated that the issue to include, we are weighing options, we are looking at that's why we have also called members facility, that's why we had PAMET last week, so that they inform us, what if all the traditional leaders come, plus SALCA, plus the magistrate, because currently it's only members, MPs and MPLs, and the judges. And magistrates are far more than the judges, and SALCA is far more than members, MPs and MPLs. So will that reduce the subscription to PAMET? As so that is the other option. The other option is what will happen if we amend or repeal the current legislation? Will it be helpful? What if, for instance, in the presentation last week, was that let's go back to pre-2007 option, where when you correctly speak of in 1996, I think that Parliament and legislatures joined the scheme because it was affordable, because of the structure of our salaries that changed in 2007. And after that, we couldn't afford, you know. So we're looking at different options so that when we present back to the House, we say we've listened to these ones, we've listened, and according to us, and the conclusion would like that this should be the option that we take, we amend or repeal the legislation, or we amend the legislation with a definition that includes traditional leaders, councillors, magistrates as part of public representatives, or should it be open to any other person outside those that are regarded as political office bearers? So we're looking at all that, and truly speaking, this committee, we don't even have caucuses. It's just that we have to report also to our members who are not a part of in the meeting, but we are all together in this because it affects each and everyone the same, you know. For instance, I last week Dr. Mulder, I went to get medication, my prescription repeat script, it's October, first week of October, they told me that my my saving is finished. Between me and my mom is 100,000 is finished. I said it's impossible. They must go and check. But you know, so it's really unaffordable, and we'd want to make it affordable. We like permit. It's a good scheme, very good scheme. The thing is, it's affordability, and we are all of us looking at the best for all our members. There's no political line. Okay, EFF has had it took the matter to court, but it's fine. Any other party could have taken it to court based on the affordability thereof, and the legislation that forces us. And probably the affordability can come also on the number of beneficiaries that you bring in, so that the beneficiaries that you bring in, you made an example of, like you have your wife and the wife of the nation. So if those are not more, you know, they are lesser and stuff like that, probably it will be affordable. So I think that there were questions that you could respond to, and then...
No, thank you, Chair, for having given light on us as well, on the process that this other committee has undertaken, and I appreciate it. I also appreciate that I've been invited to also make our input as public as well. Maybe to go straight into the questions that were asked, I think in terms of allowing to, yes, it is permitting that is paid to members of the House. I think maybe to explain the factor is that as traditional leaders, you become a member of the House as a traditional leader. Mm-hmm. And that salary of 246,000 per annum is paid to all traditional leaders. So now when you become a member of the House, then you will be paid that sitting allowance. So I think it will go to the question that was asked by Dr. Mulder in terms of the full-timeness and all that. As much as other members may not be full-time, but that salary cap is there of 246,000. So probably that could look at packages, you know, that could satisfy those categories. And also there are members of the House that are full time. It has been mainly the chair, the deputy that becomes full time members of the House, and other executive committee members in other provinces. So these are provinces are slowly making members of the body full time in their provinces. I think other provinces have been made members of the House full time, because it makes it easier for the province to budget properly. Because if you look at the sitting allowances, because they are sporadic, sometimes you find that it becomes a bit costly for a province, or sometimes it becomes a bit less, where you find that there's more programs, and yet when you look at the determination that is made by the Commission for a full-time member, you find that the province will feel that we will be making savings of salary for members full-time, so that we are paying one salary. If we have to subsidize, we just subsidize with one figure. You know, it does not, it's just one figure. So I think that's a system that you also protect, that if members are full-time, because even when you look at the pension, it says, you know, they are able to calculate it for full-time members. But for those that are on sitting, and they just don't know what structure to come up with to be able to have a pension for those members that are members of the House. So I would say, in terms of the definition, I think what they've done in terms of the Commission, within their definition, they included traditional leaders especially for medical aid or for pensions, and all those. You find that previously they did not include traditional results, or even the categories of traditional results. We find that categories that they included are limited. We find that there were kings and queens, and yet you find that you have a house that is a chairperson, you have committees that are there, that have chairpersons of committees that should not be viewed the same as members of the FAT. So a definition that would prefer is a definition that appreciates the structures that we have, so that would include the structures that are there. You'd remember that within the structure, the framework has said there must be elections, where you have traditional council members that are elected. So now those members also become public office bearers, because government says, how do we pay these people? So now we needed to change now the definition of the public office bearers to include them, so that government could be able to pay them. So now in terms of definition, they've now tried to include those members that were left out in the public office bearers definition. So yeah, so a definition that we prefer is one that will be inclusive and appreciates the structure of traditional leaders. Yes, treasurer pays our salaries, but I think they operate differently. I mean, they will tell you that a normal appointment, as much as it comes from treasurer, if they're saying you have an abnormal appointment, our appointment to traditional leaders, it says traditional leader without metric. You know? So in your salary advice, what would appear, it doesn't appreciate whether you've gone to pharmacy or you have metrics, so that's what it will say. And what it does on a yearly basis, because it seeks to avoid the issue of pension, it's like you are appointed every year. So because when you look at your salary, the date of appointment, when the new financial year starts, it says you are appointed from the 1st of April. Then the following year, it means you are appointed again. So you don't have a long-term type of a system that will consider you as having been part of the system for that period. You are new every year. So I think that's what made that made you an abnormal appointment, and it makes it difficult for treasurer to, in terms of their holding when they pay, to cover you as a traditional leader. So those are the issues that were brought up, and we've been grappling with that issue, trying to resolve it, but we seem to be moving very slow towards it. We've been fighting for the past 24 years. But we seem to be struggling to get it correct. It might be, I think, delve into other avenues. But yeah, those have been the challenges that we've been experiencing. I think I've answered the question on how many members are full time. Although I think probably what is key is that all members are salaried, and we can, so we have 8,800 people that are salaried, and we could come up with packages to, you know, that could be relevant for all those members. I think those that are in the higher up in the bracket, you know, could fall within a certain category, and I think that those are my submissions. I'm not sure if my colleagues would want to write.
Okay, firstly, I would just like to correct one thing. The first W is not the NTSANWIFI. But I'd also like to pose a question whether our intrusion into the legislature, whichever makes sense, would be free of any effect to U.S. parliamentarians. I mean, that's just a matter of fact, but something of an option where maybe those who are not included might opt come up with their own medical scheme, which would be more beneficial than the closed one that you have. And I think most of the things that we have been answered by him are accepted.
Chairperson, now we've had replied to all the questions. Any of the members still have any further questions or things that you still want more clarity on? No. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Mude. I think on the, your submission, and if you, you do get other inputs from your provinces, you can send it through the secretary or the content advisor, and then we can include it here. But as we said earlier on, we are trying to look at inclusion of everybody as a political, as an office bearer, and also everybody to benefit. Obviously, when you come in, Judge Musu would have looked at your salaries and stuff like that. And as I said earlier on, the more we are, the merrier it will be. We will be able to have plan A, B, C, and D. So a person can't complain, but you can choose a plan that suits your pocket. So that's where we are looking at and heading for. Because the currently, apparently, it's because it is small that we can't have different options. But we'd like to thank you very much for making time, for making this presentation, although you said it's incomplete or it misses some points, but we are happy with it. As I said, you can send through our content advisor, and if there's anything else, we will contact you and for any other information. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're all looking for the, and hoping for the best option for all of us.
All right, no, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. My LLP is completed. I graduated on Monday.
So nice.
Somebody was saying, when you celebrate, bring all those books. Mm-hmm. You used to say, so are you going home?
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And they should be getting legal. Now, Dr. Mude can tell you, one of the modules, they teach you how to make your money.
Yeah, and the other thing is, we won't talk to you. You say, I'm a lawyer, don't talk to me.
Can I say something on that? Because
yes.
Yeah.
I studied law.
Yes.
My brother studied communications,
yes.
The one who left.
Yes.
And he asked me at some stage, what subject did you take as a legal person to make you so arrogant?
Yes.
There's no such subject.
Yeah, thank you very much. We are just waiting for Duma to come back. Welcome. Thank you very much for coming. I'm sorry to have taken some of your time. You see, when you tell them, keep other people waiting. Thank you. This is my way, and it's not mine. Vivian. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's such a good feeling, you know, electrifying. Something.
I'm
working of being admitted as an advocate. Thank you very much. I think. Honorable members, the second member supports them. Honorable members, you can at leisure take, and everybody. The second presentation was requested member support services to also come and present to us, to tell us this different options that you're looking at, how will they benefit us? Is it worth it or what? Thank you very much, Linda. And Marisa, welcome.
Thank you, Chair. I think in preparing for the presentation, I hope what I'm presenting today is going to add value to your process. When you're talking about looking at recommendations and looking at adding members to the team, that's not something that I'm going to be able to give any input on, because that is really that is up to the scheme to tell you. They do all their actuarial valuations and work around that. But what I've tried to do is I've tried to take us back 10 years and then look at where we were in 2008 before the Commission made the changes, and just the impacts over the 10-year period. And also just to highlight the fact that we've lost the identity of the contribution that is being made for medical aid. And if I can undo that and try and represent it slightly differently, it may also make sense. So just in terms of background, prior to 2008, obviously members were paid on a cost-plus benefit basis. So there was a basic salary, then there was an additional amount for travelling, and there was an additional amount, a subsidy for medical aid. I think the biggest issue with the Commission in 2008 was that the two-thirds contribution was based on the actual cost that the member was incurring. So whether it was a member on their own or a member with six or seven dependents, the state was still making a two-thirds contribution. So you ended up with the situation where you in effect could have had a member earning 10,000 rand more than another member purely because of the contribution that the state was making for medical aid. And on that basis, the Commission then said, let's create a deemed medical contribution, which is a contribution for a member, an adult dependent, and two children. And that was the base figure that they used for inclusion into the total into the total cost or total remuneration structure. So this deemed cost, at the time, if you look at the table that I've got, the deemed cost was, the state contribution at that point was 4,063 rand. So it was determined on the total cost of 6,094, which was two adults and two children. So in effect, at 2008, the state was subsidizing that contribution by 4,063 rand. So in the table, I've also just tried to show how things have changed over the period. So your annual salary of members, then the medical aid costs. And one can see, if you look at the percentages, we can see that medical aid as a percentage of remuneration was 10.23%, and it's grown to 14.45% over the 10-year period. So if one has to recreate the 2008 picture in 2018, you had a 4,063 rand contribution included in the total remuneration, and if we take that 4,063 and increase it by the actual increases that members have had over the period, we come to a figure of 6,446 rand, which is then the subsidy in 2018, not visible in the structure, but still in the package. Just a note, I have added for 2018 a 5% increase. That's not the increase. We haven't heard anything, but I just for the purposes of this presentation, I had to put something in for 2018. So the interesting thing that comes out of this is if you look at the medical aid cost in 2018 for one member, just a member, no dependents, it's 5,830 rand.
Yes.
The actual subsidy that's in the remuneration with no identity is 6,446. So in effect, where a member is on their own on the medical aid, they're more than 100% subsidized for the cost of medical aid. And that was quite interesting when you looked at the figures and worked out what is actually in but not seen.
Ooh.
So in doing this little exercise here, also just out of my own curiosity, had a look at a comparative with Discovery. So the top of the range, Discovery Medical Aid, at the moment for two adults and two children would cost 14,168 rand per month. Our cost at the moment is 13,656. So we're looking at the executive plan, and that was purely just to see how expensive our scheme is in terms of other medical aid, but I think that has also been done previously by the when they did the assessment of schemes and comparisons, that they looked at the benefits in other schemes. In terms of just a summary of changes, so if we look at the salary increase between 2008 and 2018, 58.68% increase with the 5% projected for 2018. But if we look at medical aid increases over the same period, it was 124%. So it's obvious that the medical aid has gone up significantly more than members' salaries, but then we also have to look at the fact that the subsidy or the deemed subsidy was based on two adults and two children in the scheme. So just for the purposes of seeing how members use medical aid currently, we looked at our current member base. We have 185 members who are member only on the scheme. There's 93 have one dependent, so it would be in that instance probably a spouse, and then 77 members have between two and three dependents, and a very small percentage have anything in excess of three dependents on the medical aid. And that's just for Parliament, it's obviously not for the sector. Excuse me. Then, one area that I've always looked at is the continuation membership. And I think it's sometimes an area that's overlooked when looking at the cost of medical aid. And it's also something that one would have to consider if the medical aid scheme was going to be opened up to other membership, whether this continuation arrangement would still be in place. Because this is in terms of the rules of the scheme currently. So there's just a table showing, based on the number of years service, a member who serves 8 years and longer will get a full two-thirds subsidy of medical aid for life after leaving Parliament. So just looking at that, just a scenario to illustrate. So if we took a medical aid cost for a member and an adult, so has a member and spouse, we'd be looking at 10,636 Rand per month. At that point, based on the 2018 rate, the state would be subsidising 7,091 Rand per month, and the member would be paying 3,545 Rand for member and spouse if they were on continuation after having served 8 years. That gives us an annual contribution by the state of 85,000, and if we took it over a 15-year period and there was a 10% escalation in medical aid costs, the value of that is 2.7 million Rand. Just also on continuation, I thought it was also relevant just to give some stats on where we stand with continuation members. Obviously, Parliament, for some strange reason, pays the medical aid contributions over, and I think that's a debate in another forum. So we have access to the information on these members. We have continuation members, 952 members, 474 adult dependents, and 289 children. The monthly contribution by the state is 5.1 million. Members are contributing 3.1 or former members, and the total contribution or the total amount paid into the fund for those former members is 8.2 million Rand per month.
Sure.
So I think in looking at all this, the information that I had at hand, the areas for consideration would be, is it salary adjustments that are the problem, or is it medical aid that's the problem, the tariffs on medical aid? I think the whole medical aid issue has not been addressed properly by the Commission, and I think that's partly why we are in this situation. I think the total cost to company was intended to create a flexible remuneration structure for members, but in doing that, while you have a compulsory membership to a scheme that's very expensive, the whole idea of flexibility is then nullified, because you are forcing members to spend even though you've created this flexible type of remuneration structure. And just to highlight that the continuation membership is something that most certainly has to be considered when members are deciding whether or not to change the compulsory nature of medical aid.
Thank you very much, Ms. Harper. I think when you look at the contribution between current members and the former members, they are very vocal, and they wanted to come to every meeting because they wanted to protect their turf. And what we did indicate to them is that, well, we are current members, but tomorrow we'll be continuity members. So we cannot jeopardize what will be asked tomorrow. So I think that, at least you are here, you help us with that. Honourable Keller?
I just want the membership breakdown that you gave me. It totals up to 355. So the other 45 members, what is the situation?
Have four or more. I didn't go into the ones who have four or more dependents. I just took...
I see. Okay.
So the 77 members have anything between two and three, and then four and more. I've got one member with, I think, nine dependents, but I didn't put that into this.
How does this person afford anything?
I had one member one time saying to me, I was complaining that I'm paying almost 11,000, me and my mom only. He said, 11, I paid 25.
So what do you take home? Because I totaled it up and I said, okay, what happened to the other 45?
They have different variations,
right.
5, 6, 7.
Right, okay.
Dr. Mulder?
Could I ask something on page 2? The salary and medical costs.
Yeah. Oh, the schedule.
Yeah,
okay. Sure.
If I understand it correctly, if you take 2008 and you see there a member plus one adult and two children, 6,094.
Yeah.
And if I understand it correctly, the state subsidy of the state contribution in that was 4,063.
That's right.
In 2008. If I then jump with that same argument to 2018, if you understand it correctly, that the state's contribution would now be 6,446,
yes,
but the cost would be 13,656.
Yes. Now, if salaries had kept on par with increases, the two-thirds contribution should be 9,000.
Yes.
So, but because our salaries have obviously grown at a lower rate, the 6,446 rand in the salary that we don't see, but the cost is 13,000. So your medical aid, and I think that is what I also wanted to say, was if we showed it on the pay slip as a contribution, a subsidy, the members would see a 7,200 rand deduction rather than a 13,000 rand deduction. So that was about putting it into perspective.
Yes.
That's the
whole point. That's the problem.
They don't see it.
Yeah.
It's two things. The one is that the state's contribution didn't keep up in terms of
the salary.
So it's a salary problem, not a permit problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the one problem. And the second one was that on our papers, when members see that deduction, they say, this can't be.
So why can't
not
we do that?
It's those two things.
Why can't that be done? Is it a system problem, or it used to be done before?
When we were on a cost-plus benefit, we would show basic salary, and we would show the state contribution. We don't have a state contribution as such. It's not to say that it can't be shown like that on the payslip, but then you're also going to have the anomaly where you have just a member who's actually receiving
gaining
a subsidy in excess of his or her cost.
Yeah, that used to happen to me.
Another thing, I understand that the commission in 2007 took us to a cost of company kind of state.
Mm.
But even that is not 100% correct. For example, our travel benefits, our air tickets, are not included in cost of company, and it's not part of it. So it's not 100% cost of company as such.
Not.
It's not.
And nor were the 12% and your ASB and that part of
not
it was also not included in.
So it's a salary problem.
Our increases are not.
I mean, it's been 4% for how many years?
Well, one year we got nothing.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah, but that year I know also I was still in a trustee in PAMET. We demanded that there's no increase. Before you talk.
Can I just make one point on this specific point? If you look at the schedule here, for example, the costs, the percentage increase in medical aid costs, look at that. And you'll see in 2016, when we received the 0% increase, 0.00, the PARMED then reduced 0.5. minus five.
Mm.
But in the next 2 years, we paid the price. Then
yeah.
It was a 10% increase and a 15% increase.
Yeah.
And that's biting us now.
And what they also did, they were a little bit sneaky because they reduced the cost of the spouse or second adult, but they increased the cost of the primary member.
Mm.
So
yeah.
unless you had another adult, you didn't benefit from the fact that it had actually gone down.
Thank you.
Well, what I wanted to say is just that the general impression, the general view that we have about PAMET is expensive. It's unaffordable. And then maybe, like you say, it's because of the ins, but not see.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, no one has made the members of PAMET aware of the fact of the ins and not seen. If we could not have established an ad hoc committee like this, we wouldn't have known this, and it would be very difficult to explain to them because that is the money that they don't see in their salary.
Yeah.
The impression is permanent, is not
affordable.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. This presentation is very useful because it further confirms what we identified in the past as being the problem of the salary structure. Now what this means to us now as a platform is that we're going to have to be very creative, very smart. If in the final recommendation that we're going to make to Parliament, we're going to refer to the challenge of the salary structure. We're going to be very creative because that is a sensitive space. It should not be presented in such a way that fingers will quickly point at us as people are trying to,
That's what the media is going to pick up.
We're working on our net now and so on. So we're going to have to be very creative to present it in such a way that realistically a person can be able to detect the problem. But we can't run away from it. We must present it because at one point or the other we've got to correct this mistake, which was caused in the past. We've got to correct it at one point or the other. We only need to be sensitive about the use of ordinary people. Already there are people who are pointing fingers at us. They don't know what you remain with after all the deductions.
Mm-hmm.
They just think of a little train and so on. But the presentation clarifies our position as we have said that the issue may not necessarily be in Parliament, but the issue will be with the salary structure. Indeed, it concerns that.
I think the last time we got a 10% increase was during Mandela's time.
Does this mean that the presentation, as it is right now, closes whatever revenues that we had in mind? Whatever options that we have based on this presentation, does it mean that?
We're looking at everything, but I think, Linda, that other comparative analysis with covering one, which you could also give us, it's very useful, so that we've got facts on where we get our things. So, according to you, what is the best option for a member to see that there is contribution towards my medical aid and I am being subsidized? So, and also, do you think if these other people are willing to come, provided it will be affordable. And I think the problem will be with the treasurer. Who you know, Treasury is one department also. I remember when I was elected the treasurer of the ANC in Gauteng, the first thing after my election, staff came to me, they said, we need to have a Christmas party. And I said, we don't have money. And I said, but this person hasn't even looked at the books, and first thing he says, we don't have money. And I remember in just before the year that we had elections, it was in 2000, when Trevor Manuel left. It was the first time I was in the pension fund thing that he agreed with me on some issues. Because each time you showed him that, let's get this pension thing right, because members suffer when they exit, you know. And he didn't want to listen. No, there's no money. The time he was preparing for his exit, he then realized that, you know, I said, come on, for the first time you agree with
let's
me that,
top up.
Yeah, let's top up. Mm. So, Miss Linda, give us an advice. We won't say that it comes from you, but we will use it.
Off the record.
Off the record. Yeah, you must switch this thing off.
I think it's a discussion to be had with Judge Moosey, to be perfectly honest with you, because you're going to pay less for medical yourself, a lot of attention.
I mean, okay, I'm one of them that doesn't even open a payslip, but my payslip is on my table. I'm going to go and open it now and have a look at it. But I mean, if a member has got 9 dependents, what are they taking home? And it's not that the medical aid is problematic, it's that our cost of living and our increases is not keeping up to pace with
inflation.
The other point is maybe we could add would be, if all things being equal, indeed economies of scale would add and put different dimension into the whole arrangement. In other words, if you have more people coming onto the scheme,
mm-hmm.
it will be much more, the benefits will be much more greater.
Mm-hmm.
But the asset test would be at the point of contribution, because you have different
mm-hmm.
kinds of contributions, whether it's at local government level, and whether it's the king and chiefs, etc.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself would pose new dimensions into the broader scheme.
But it impacts on the amendment of the legislation,
mm-hmm.
I mean, greatly. Anyway,
I have to leave. I'd like to.
Yeah, person, it's a very complicated question for me.
Yeah.
The first one is, as the judge told us last week, if you tamper with the benefits, the continuation members will take you to court for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
I can understand that, because, and remember, our continuation members are our own colleagues since 1994.
And some of us are going to be
continuation
members.
Yes, now. I remember I had a colleague who left in 1999, and he said the only thing that he left with from Parliament was his medical scheme, and he's going to hang on to that until the day he dies. And we must understand that. So that's one reality. The second one is, how do we package the reality to our colleagues? Because our colleagues look at their payslip and they see deduction 13,600, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that can be packaged differently to indicate the state subsidy part, and your actual, what you really take from your pay,
yeah.
is 6,000 or 7,000. Then the member will say, well, in terms of what I get, that is quite acceptable.
Mm.
And I think the third thing that we need to do is to get the salary kind of backlog that we've got before of what happened needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
If you do those three things, because the option that we looked at to include more and more and more people was because we tried to make it more affordable.
Mm.
But I'm not sure that we are going down the right route,
mm.
because with all due respect to our colleagues from the traditional leaders, what is the purpose of, are we going to succeed if we include 8,000 headmen and headwomen, but they only earn 8,000 rand a month? What is the impact going to be on
the
scheme?
It's
something
yeah.
else, the contribution. So I would, from my perspective, if we can avoid litigation, that's the first thing from
mm-hmm.
our colleagues in the past. Then the whole thing gets bogged down and we've got nothing to get anywhere. And then, I've indicated in the past, we've listened to many people now, but we have to interact with the commission and get them on board to understand what the problem basically is. I can assure you, members react in this way because they look at their payslips and they see this is the amount not acceptable. Can never be the case.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize that of that amount,
so much
is actually being subsidized. They're not actually paying that.
Mm-hmm. When the next sitting of the commission? You sit on that, don't you?
No, we don't sit on that. The commission is independent.
No. Parliament has a committee there.
I'm not sure.
We're
together there.
Mm.
Another. But we have not been called again unless we request. But what I was saying earlier on is that as this ad hoc committee, we would need to have a group of people, whether the subcommittee, to make a presentation to Judge Moore. So that we bring all these things. And also it will be helping him so that he doesn't start the process again from scratch. And that these are the submissions that we've had. These are the concerns. These are the disparities. Here are the gaps. So as he's looking at what needs to be done, he must find ways of addressing that gap, to closing that gap and dealing with those disparities. Dr. Tambo?
No, I just wanted to say we are talking about 8 years, 8 years into the thing. Like you say, when you are 8 years, you become
fully
subsidized.
Yeah, the percentages of it.
I'm sure not to be I'm talking about, we are talking about the 8 years experience into the medical aid. What about those who have 1 year and 2 years?
It's also there.
Yeah, but it's not the same as the benefits are not the same. Because I'm putting my point to say the reason why we would like to have a change of legislation, and the reason why to have the right to join other medical aids as we want it, because of the 8 years experience where people become, I don't know what you call them, continue to whatever, those that we are afraid of, even to challenge the new court, that cannot be a basis for us to accept the presentation as it was today, and to say Parliament is not to blame, but it is our salary or finance people who are to blame. The fact of the matter is, Parliament is expensive. We cannot afford it, and that's kind of simple as that.
I say something, Chairperson.
Yes.
My concern is that Parliament, compare with other schemes, then I'm not sure that Parliament is more expensive than we're going to pay. If it has the same benefits at Discovery, it's going to be more expensive all the time. The problem is this: if you look at the when you leave Parliament or stop being a member of Parliament and you become a conciliation member, you are being subsidised by the state.
And whether you have served one month or two months,
schedule. If you've been a member for 1 year, for the rest of your life, you'll be subsidised by 33% or 31%, and then it continues up to that. I think the idea was that if a member comes to Parliament, the majority of members stay at least a full term, 5 years. Now, if you stay 5 years, half of your cost is going to be subsidized. There's not a single medical scheme out there where you will be subsidized if you remain a member of that. You will never. No scheme will subsidize you. You'll pay for the full amount. So that's why the subsidy thing is very important for members, and that goes for all of us. After 1 year, a third of your medical cost will be subsidized by the state. It's something to consider because you won't get that anywhere else. Nobody else will have that. So I'm not sure if it's that expensive in terms of comparison with others. It's not. It's the same. Or it's more expensive, perhaps, as you saw just now.
I mean, if we take the same package at Discover, it's more than Parliament. You know, I think as we go along, we will find probably in our interaction again with Judge Musa, he will come up with some better plan.
Of course. Thank you, Chair. I think the last time we met, we asked the climate because they just found the fair interest in comparative stuff, but they did not include that.
Can continue.
I think we need to get the final product of that, and I think Mizapa should also
not just look at Discover, but look at all of them.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when we say there isn't any other medical scheme that is actually cheap, if you look at the level of service that it provides, it should then become a factual thing to the member, you see. Because, for instance, GEMS, the experience that we received in some of the meetings...
For government employees.
Yeah, yes, they appear to be paying less, but the service that they get also is less than, very much less than what PAMET is providing. So that complete comparative study is also important. But we agree with the doctor. We all agree that, in a way, I'm not sure if the wording is correct, but the fees are high, very high in PAMET presently. That is why we have this initiative, to try and find a way to bring them down without interfering with the quality of the service, you see. So I think in the final analysis we're going to find a solution, but it's going to be a lot of work for our government at all levels, because quite a lot of things have got to be reviewed. And some of the things were done in the past for a variety of reasons. Now for us to cause that equilibrium, it will mean things would have to be changed very radically in many directions. The least that we are going to do when we complete our work, as the chair was indicating, is to make a proper recommendation to Parliament regarding the kind of changes that need to happen here and there and there and so on, and leave the baby now to Parliament as an entity, so that it looks at how all these things are going to be taken care of. Of course, it's going to need a lot of changes in the legislation as a start. That is what is going to happen. Also, there's going to be a lot of headaches. Like for instance, if you've got a headman who's all of a sudden has to be regarded as a public office bearer, and then you've got to find the resources somewhere so that this particular individual can also benefit and so on. It's going to need a lot of creativity. But the sooner we start, the better. There's no way of avoiding this. We must make these corrections and then start a new arrangement altogether. Obviously, it won't be done now. It won't be done in the next 2 years or 3 years. But the sooner we begin the process, the better. Those who will come after us, they'll appreciate the importance of this work and then they will complete it. But it's not going to be done, quickly, hastily, because this one element impacts on other elements there. So you need to look holistically at the situation so that you don't make those mistakes, elementary mistakes that will create problems in the future. So it's a huge, huge, huge task. It's not just PAMET. PAMET is just that small element within a bigger, broader
scheme
of things. And we must be ready for that huge task. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I have a contact person?
No, mine is very small. I think on the first workshop that we had, there was a presentation. I think we are going to circulate that presentation and incorporate that, also that presentation to the report. That presentation was made by the council. Sort of, I believe that it's sort of an independent, because it's more of a regulatory structure for all the medical schemes. It does make a comparative analysis about PAMET and with other medical schemes. And in that presentation, the only issue that was flagged, it was the administrative costs. The same presentation that PAMET did, it was more aligned to what the council presented. And again, there's a report that was also circulated to the members, but maybe did not emphasize that in that report there is a comparative analysis again made by PAMET raising the same issue that as far as other service providers that are there, out there, or competitors that are out there, they are not necessarily out. The issue is, it was even emphasized that you are more in the rich scale. And I think the judge said it's a Rolls Royce, you know, compared to other schemes, you know. But maybe the issue that was emphasized also by the judge is that the issue of the salaries, that is a key issue that maybe members also need to look at. But I'm just saying that on the comparative analysis, there is information that is there, it's factual, it's also coming from the regulatory body, that is the Council for Medical Schemes, and also for PAMET, because what we did not want to get a comparative analysis from PAMET. We also wanted the regulatory land structure to also to do that. But I'm just saying that there is a factual element evidence that is out there that says where you are, is not necessarily can be offered any answer. But maybe we have to look at some of the issues that also raised by the colleagues from the from member support and also other issues. But also I think members also, we need also, that was also raised in that workshop, that national development issues should not, we should not overlook them, the national health insurance scheme and so on. As we build, you know, permit and refine it, the national development issues should also not be overlooked. So I think whatever that is coming out is going to be incorporated to the report, and national development issues are going to be highlighted. But the information is there, but it's an issue about analyzing it and incorporating it into the report.
Thank you very much, Dr. I was going to say before we close, I was going to ask the MSF how will the NHI impact, how will it change the status quo?
We haven't
explored
that yet.
Chairperson, the problem is that we are under pressure at the moment from members of parliament and others. I don't think we've got any idea what the NHI is going to look like. We don't know. But our question is now, it's imminent now, as for the sixth parliament. People would like to know if they become members of parliament or the scheme, what does it entail? We don't know. It may be that the NHI have some impact in the future, but at the moment we don't know. If I may say from my perspective, after having gone through this whole experience, the workshops, listening to people, I think I understand now what the problem is. Now we need to find a way to address it. Now, my view is that I think we need some interaction with the commission as soon as possible to tell them they indicate medical aid, whatever the case may be. But from our perspective that experience this is what the problem exactly is. And how do we address that reality? If I can once again go back to the schedule on page 2, if I understand it correctly, if you look at the bottom, the third column from the bottom, the one again that starts with 4,063, it ends with 6,446. Now that is technically the contribution by the state.
That's Mandela.
But if I understand it correctly, if our salaries kept pace, then it should have been 9,104.
Yeah.
And then if you look at the 9,104 in combination with the 13,656 at the top, then actually what the member will see on his payslip will be about 4,000 rand a month for his current membership. And no member will then come along and say, but it's unaffordable. It won't be like that.
So it goes back to pre-2007. That's
yes.
What I'm saying. If you go back to that, then give solace to members, but you know. Yeah, thank you very much, Ms. Harper and Mr. Mofuso. Thanks for the presentation. Thank you, honorable members, for your contribution. And I think as we go along, if you also remember, Dr. Moore, can also write a piece on that so that we incorporate to our report that you're busy with. And if you've got other issues, want just something that will incorporate into the report on the recommendation. So if you could just send to Ludo and then we look at that. Oh, okay. Next week there is no meeting. We don't have a meeting next week.
We don't add anything on the submissions that we made.
I know, just write it.
Because we don't deviate.
Yeah.
On our own submission.
Yes.
Irrespective of this presentation, that's my request. Irrespective of what has been presented today, we don't deviate. It's another point. So we can go to the commission and talk to the difference in the salaries and everything, but please don't forget that it's not the only final viewpoint that we present. What we have presented, there isn't any deviation.
Yeah, no, that we take that into consideration. I think the final report will include everything, with all the submissions that were there. And based on that and what we think, having listened to everybody, this is the way to go. So I'm sure it also has to say whether it will be of value to bring in SALGA and everybody. Because magistrates also spoke of affordability. SALGA spoke of affordability. The traditional leader spoke of affordability.
And the head
man. So, yeah, and the head man. So we will look at all those things and see if is it necessary to bring them in. I think let's leave it at that. And thank you once again. So as we do the report also, if you need more information, we can contact you and that will be interesting. This one helps, not just. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you,
Honorable
Kiane, Dr. Tembe Mayo, Dr. Holder.
I think we'll be on assistance. And just to have proven that we encounter within the conversation.
What?
Is the understanding of